The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Advice and expertise on the relief you need from hay fever at All Care Community Pharmacies across Ireland.
I'm joined now by Colm Henry, Chief Clinical Officer at the HSE. Good morning, Colm.
Good morning, Brendan.
Colm, I suppose let's take the win first anyway. Things seem to be going very well. We're exceeding all expectations here. We had a very upbeat CMO there on Thursday at the press conference.
Yeah, we're certainly upbeat in the HSE from the point of view of the numbers, but more importantly, the impact of this vaccine programme. Just look briefly at the numbers first. Almost 3.5 million doses given. That's 61% of the eligible population partially vaccinated and almost a third fully vaccinated. But what's more important from the medical and public health point of view is who has been vaccinated, who has been protected. And of course, because of the way this programme was set out, those who are most vulnerable to the worst effects of the virus are those who are now fully protected. And we are now seeing a collapse in harm, a big fracture between the numbers of cases which are falling anyhow and the harm that they are causing. A big fracture. For example, if I can give you one or two quick figures, Brennan. In the middle of January, healthcare-associated infection with COVID, there were people who caught COVID when in hospital. There were 500 per week. We had, up till June the 6th, over the previous 2 or 3 weeks, we had one case. Healthcare workers in hospitals, 1,000 in 1 week, went up to January the 19th, now in single figures. Outbreaks in nursing homes, we had none for several weeks. We had one last week with 3 cases. We're seeing a collapse in harm. And this is something that goes beyond what we could have hoped for based on the trials. In this real-world evidence, in other words, what does the vaccine do in real life? What it does is it gives the virus a sucker punch.
Yeah, you see, people will argue then, because you know this argument has been there all the time, that if we have protected the vulnerable, that then should we all get on with our lives?
Well, the virus itself doesn't exclusively attack older people. We have seen younger people in hospital. We've also seen other consequences, such as long COVID syndrome. And long COVID syndrome is a constellation of symptoms we see in all age groups. It doesn't correlate with one particular age group. It doesn't correlate with severity of illness. So there's every reason for us to try and reach through the 40s, 30s and 20s and reach. It's not just that, Brendan. You've heard of this concept of herd immunity. It's hitting a critical proportion of the population so that there's so little of the virus circulating around that its harm is greatly incapacitated.
Okay, so there's still that urgency there about getting the rest of the population done. And like we would point out, the 3.5 million doses, if we want to give 2 doses to 3.75 million people, and obviously Johnson & Johnson's in there, so some of them are 1 dose, but we're only roughly halfway there in terms of the amount of doses we need to give out. So I suppose the question now, first, let's take the 40s. So the 40s still don't all have the 40-something still don't all have their first jab. When will that be done by?
So first of all, the 40s, they're registering in the kind of numbers we saw other groups. We saw, and just quickly, we saw 99% in overs 85s, well over 90% in 60-69s, again heading the same way of 50-59. So we're seeing huge numbers register. We expect that the first doses for 40-49s will be complete in the next couple of weeks. And of course, they're getting the mRNA vaccine, so their second dose will be 1 month later, a short time after which those people will be deemed to be fully vaccinated and protected.
Okay, so they'd be fully vaccinated by kind of, in an ideal world, start of August, all things going well. Okay, so then we go to 30s. Now, I'm slightly not exactly understanding what's going on here. So the 35 to 39 year olds are being allowed to register at the moment. And I see Damien McCallion said they could be waiting a bit longer than previous groups were, that it could be 3 to 4 weeks before they get an appointment. So are we looking at them then being done by what? The end of July, start of August kind of thing?
Yes.
Their first jobs.
There's lots of them, first of all. There's 710,000.
This is in the complete,
yeah, in the complete
30 to 40, 30, 30, yeah.
So, and we're working. When we started this, we hoped but didn't believe or expect people would show as much interest as they have. But we've no reason to think that they won't register and show as much interest as the other cohorts, because everybody's got an interest in doing this for themselves and for society. So going going through that 710,000 with the mRNA vaccine, we expect to work right through June, obviously, and right through the end of July.
Well, the rest of June will be taken up with giving first jabs to 40-somethings, won't it?
Yes.
So then if the 30s start in early July, are we talking late August by the time they all have a first jab?
First jab, I would say, into the first couple of weeks of August, and then, of course, the second jab 1 month later. But we're hopeful we'll get through the great bulk of those 700,000 through by the end of July, with maybe a week or two in August to finish up any additional cases.
Okay, because I thought we were only getting 180,000 Pfizers a week in July, and presumably there are second doses for 40s to be done with those. So how are we going to get 650 take it? How are we going to get that done in July if we're only finishing the 30 first jabs maybe at the end of the first week in July? Are we not pushed well into August then with the 30-somethings?
It may well do, but we're getting additional supplies of Pfizer this week and next week. And in contrast to our experience with the AstraZeneca vaccine completely, our supplies of Pfizer have proved remarkably constant. So as I said, we've had very little disruption of Pfizer supplies to date. We know the EU have negotiated extra supplies. We're committed to getting those out as quickly as they come into the country. Yes, it'll take right through July into a couple of weeks of August.
Okay.
And there's 710,000 to get through, but we'll get to everybody.
Okay, so then 20-somethings are essentially looking at getting first jabs in late August into September, is that right?
Correct, that's when we're looking at that. All supply dependent, Brendan.
So then they're looking really at 20-somethings are looking at October, probably into early November realistically by the time they're fully vaccinated.
Again, it's very hard for us to make predictions. We become more reluctant based on supply disruption and based on the fact that extra supplies have come along through EU negotiation. But all I can commit to at this stage is what we've done from the very beginning is get, as soon as we get supplies, supplies in the country, we'll give them out.
But roughly speaking, given what you're saying about when the 30s get done, that's
very
what it would
roughly
look
because
like.
Projecting a number of months ahead. And it's,
I understand,
and
we're fairly much, don't we know now fairly much what we're going to have, because AstraZeneca is out of the picture. I know the second dose is being done in them, but that was the supply kind of fluctuation mainly, wasn't it? Are we not fairly sure about Pfizer, what we're getting over the next while?
Yes, as I said, the supplies of Pfizer to date are remarkably constant and in line with what commitments they've given us, so that there has been very little disruption in Pfizer supplies. That's true.
Okay, so we could be confident enough then that it will be kind of late September, October before 20-somethings are done probably at the earliest.
I think we're confident based on current supplies, yes.
Yeah, okay. And then we're asking them really now not to travel until then. And also then we saw the CMO say the other night that people who are vaccinated can resume their normal lives now. So we are asking the 20-somethings not to travel and not to resume their normal lives until now. October, November, I'm not being critical about this, but is that the reality of it? Just because I think people would like a bit of clarity to know when they can get their lives back.
Well, the advice has always been to project forward advice several months is very difficult, Brendan. We've learned very much from the beginning of this pandemic is that the way this virus behaves has been remarkably constant. The only thing that's changed is that variants have come in that are more transmissible. And as such, the advice is always being given with caution in terms of projecting what advice can be given.
I understand. If we take it though, all things being equal, and we'll come to the Delta variant in a second, but all things being equal, the best case scenario is that those young people are allowed to resume their lives potentially October, November, and that's when we would be encouraging them to travel again as well.
Well, it's all laid out in the government map. If you look at the government map, at this point in time, the advice given based on public health advice that government have accepted is non-essential travel should be avoided. And that includes outside the island of Ireland. And according to the recovery...
Yeah, until July 19th, though, but aren't we told then?
And then dependent on the prevailing public health picture at that time, the government has said they may well introduce what's this called, this digital travel cert, which may permit international travel, depending on whether somebody's fully vaccinated, has evidence of previous infection, or a PCR negative test.
So, did the CMO not say the other night, though, that we are diverging from that, it would seem, from what he said, in that we are encouraging people who are not vaccinated not to travel, even by July 19th.
I think what this reflects is the concern over the Delta variant and the harm that variants can cause while we're rolling out a vaccination programme. And the greatest protection we know that you can have if you're going abroad and if you're going to come back home is if you're fully vaccinated or have absolute evidence of previous infection. Because we know that if you've been previously infected, you have immunity that lasts at least 6 to 9 months. So the best medical advice would be that going abroad, you're safest if you're fully vaccinated. And that greatly reduces the chance of you bringing back, not just getting ill abroad, but you bringing back illness or a variant back.
I think we understand that. But is your understanding then that when we do sign up for the Green Cert, we will be encouraging people only to go on one basis, which is vaccination, and not with PCR tests or not with a recovery from COVID cert?
This is the government policy states clearly, as laid out, and it's available for anybody to see on the government website, that the criteria for the passport, as it's been planned currently, are one of those three criteria. That's okay. The current criteria, but there's a long road between now and July the 19th.
Yeah.
And it is caveated by saying that it's depending on the prevailing public health environment and advice.
Yeah. Do you think we've been very lucky? I know, like, it's not luck. We've done the work. We've been very lucky with the Delta variant in the sense that it's now 99% of the cases in the UK. The WHO are saying, like, that it will now become globally dominant. And we have managed to keep it to a small trickle here. I believe actually going down, the number of cases going down each week, isn't it? Which is, it kind of seems extraordinary given we've an open border with Northern Ireland where they have a serious and developing problem with the Delta variant.
Yes, the numbers have, if I could just go through some numbers, Brendan, over across in the UK, 75,000 cases in total so far. But more importantly, in the past week, that's jumped 33,000 in 1 week. Now, they've had just over 800 people hospitalised from Delta. Only 10% were fully vaccinated. The rest either partially or not vaccinated. And that message is very strong and coming through from Public Health England and their advice too, that despite the threat that this particular variant poses in terms of increased transmissibility and potentially increased illness, that if you're fully vaccinated with any of the available vaccines, it affords great protection against serious illness and hospitalisation. The numbers you refer to in Ireland, yes, they're low, but I don't think any of us believe that they're going to remain that low because of the issues. I have no doubt in my mind that we'll see those figures go up. But what has happened to date due to some of the difficult measures that people have had to adhere to due to those public health measures and due to those restrictions on travel is we've managed to contain the number and slow its spread to allow us to try and vaccinate a critical proportion of the population before this particular
variant. So we're in that race against time
basically. It is a race against time, yes.
But given that 2/3 of people are not fully vaccinated down here, is telling people to make their own risk assessment when travelling north slightly kind of casual about it?
Yes, certainly. I would say that if we all individually want this vaccination programme to be its maximum effect, we'd like to see the vaccination programme roll out to get through those groups and have them fully vaccinated before this variant gets hold.
Okay, so in terms of Northern Ireland then, the idea of people making their own risk assessment, leaving it kind of up to people themselves, is it a bit too critical to be that kind of easy about it? Like, should we be thinking of shutting that border in some shape or form?
No, we've seen off those cases in the UK, the great majority have been in England, relatively small numbers in Northern Ireland, although they're going up too. And as you point out, the free movement may allow cases to go up there too. But look, in any instance, this is something we have to watch out for. Any degree of open movement between countries may well facilitate introduction and spread of this variant. I have no doubt the cases will go up in this country. I have no doubt the cases are probably over the 188 that we have.
Yeah.
And I would urge everybody just be mindful of that while we get this vaccination program out, because full vaccination with either the Pfizer or the AstraZeneca does afford really solid protection against serious illness from this variant.
And going back then to Dr. Holland saying on Thursday that fully vaccinated people can now resume normal life. So are we moving towards a situation where we are going to say to vaccinated people, look, you can do different things to what unvaccinated people do. I know we have a limited amount of the so-called vaccine bonus now of saying to people, you know, you could. I think the other night it was that you can have other vaccinated people and you can have one unvaccinated household, etc. But resuming normal life, he said, and he's saying that they can travel. Are we moving to a situation, as maybe we should, where we say to vaccinated people, you can get on with your lives, and we say to unvaccinated people, sorry, you need to wait a bit longer. And as with the young people, you need to wait till maybe October, November. Where we're going?
Well, I think if you look back over the history of the pandemic to date, Brendan, you'll see the greatest impact in terms of social restrictions have been those who are most vulnerable to the virus, that is to say older people and those with underlying illness who had to undergo the additional requirements of sometimes cocooning and complete isolation in order to protect themselves. So the effect of the vaccine programme to date is to bring a greater equality to the kind of social restrictions that apply to everybody, so that we can say to older people now and those who have underlying illness that the same measures apply, the same advice applies to them as it does to younger people. And that's been a huge gain. And we've seen ease in our healthcare system, such as ease and restrictions to hospitals, safer nursing homes. So, and of course, the government on July the 5th will be opening up that bit further based on their advice to indoor dining and so on.
Yeah.
So this is a public health exercise. And we've learned that solidarity and that cohesive population approach is something that everybody understands, and nobody wants to see a situation where we see a differentiation of advice for people right across the country. We want to move together.
So hang on. So are we not telling vaccinated people they can go back to their normal lives then?
Well, the resilience plan of the government clearly lays out the incremental approach to what we call normal life. As I said, on July the 5th, we expect to see and hope to see a resumption of indoor dining, a resumption of indoor training and so on.
Yeah.
And it's that incremental population-based approach that has got us where we are now. And
I know, but you see, I think a lot of people heard something different from the CMO the other night. They heard him saying that young people and unvaccinated cannot travel. People vaccinated can go back to normal life. And like Colm, there's two threads coming in. I've just got a sample of texts here and I'm being told that they're all, most of them are on these two issues. One is young people who are saying, why do we have to wait longer than everybody else to get our lives back? And then there's a second one. Can you understand that cohesion you talk about might start breaking down with young people if we're telling them you have to wait till October, November? You're telling other people you can get on with your lives, you can travel.
Look, I of course I understand that, and we want to get the vaccination programme out as quickly as possible to younger people, but we chose quite rightly, as in line with other countries, to choose older people and those who are most vulnerable first, because it wasn't just a question, remember, Ben, we have short memories in this pandemic. It wasn't just a question of older people getting back to normal lives or getting back to the level of restrictions the rest of us have. It was getting back to saving their lives and avoiding serious illness in that cohort, and that's why we've prioritised those people with the vaccination programme.
Yeah, and listen, and you talk about short memories. I was looking up there when the last time we had you in was, and I have to say it would give you a bit of joy to think the conversations we were having back then when I spoke to you previously and the conversation we're having now, this is a luxury to be having this conversation compared to where we were then. Colm, the other thing that's coming in is I think there are people who are kind of annoyed at the suggestion that the vulnerable are vaccinated, and a lot of people, 60 to 69 year olds, saying, I'm 65, got my first jab in April, when am I getting my second? There are people, many people with disabilities not yet fully vaccinated, waiting over 12 weeks, and just a lot, I think a lot of people in their 60s still kind of really annoyed at the fact that they were told they were more vulnerable, but they are not protected now. And people like me in their 50s are protected, and now people in their 40s starting to be protected.
Well, we're bringing for that precise reason. People in 60 and 69 were given the AstraZeneca vaccine. The uptake was 92% of that population. We're bringing forward that second dose. And we began that the week of June the 14th, and over a 5-week period, we've been bringing that back from 12 weeks gap to an 8-week gap. So we're hoping to have that cohort 6069 completed with their dose two by the middle of July.
Middle of July, okay, and they can take that to the bank. That is definite, isn't it? The 450,000 doses are there for them, aren't they?
Yes, yeah. Hence the ramping up of the vaccination programme last week and this week to over 300,000 per week, and much of it driven by that accelerated administration of dose twos to 6069s and other people who received the AstraZeneca vaccine.
Okay, can I ask you one question before you go? I think people are a little bit confused as well, and we saw the travel agents annoyed yesterday about, it seemed like Dr. Houlihan was saying he would not offer any recommendation on people who are fully vaccinated bringing their children on a holiday abroad this year. He kind of seemed to say, we're not going to tell people not to bring them. Can I just ask you, as I'd ask any doctor or any medic, because I think they probably have a better feel for it than we do, would you be bringing away, if you were vaccinated and you had a couple of kids that you wanted to bring in a foreign holiday, would you do that this summer, or would you just decide, actually, no, we're not going to do that this year?
Well, to emphasise, Brian, it will be, this policy will be laid by government and they will decide on July 19th.
I understand. Just your own thoughts.
In my own thoughts, is the situation greatly improved? You're quite right. We were in a much better situation the last time we spoke, and there's much greater cause for hope. And as I said, the vaccination programme has gone way beyond what you would expect. I still see, and the experts I listen to in public health, still see a lot of volatility, mainly emanating from this Delta virus, Delta variant. And we have every reason to want to restrict the entry and spread of this variant into our country to allow this vaccine program to take hold. I would certainly agree that you're better covered, you're certainly better protected going abroad if you're either fully vaccinated or you have clear evidence that you've been infected before with the virus, because we know that the immunity lasts 6 to 9 months, if not longer.
So are you saying don't bring kids abroad?
I would be hesitant, certainly.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Listen, Colm Henry, Chief Clinical Officer at the HSE, thank you very much for your time this morning, and I'll talk to you again, Colm. Well, let's take a break.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.